welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never. See, I used to say welcome back, and the focus has to be basically emphasizing the little time we have left. You know, we may have all sorts of blessings, an abundance of money, friends, influence, what have you, but you do not have an abundance of time. I cannot emphasize to you enough the urgency in fighting evil. Remember Edmund Burke, back in the 1700s, late 1700s, it was Edmund Burke that said, the only thing that for evil to be successful is for good men to do nothing. Start standing up. What's really sad is that we actually see, we're witnessing politicians and public servants. And let's change the paradigm of Edmund Burke. We now have women who are in our militia, or should be in our militia, and should be in our armed forces. Women want the ability to fight equally, or at least have the ability to say, I want to do it, not be compelled to. Every man must be compelled unless you are a conscientious objector. We have the right to consciously object supporting liberty. Now, I truly believe there should be a consequence for a conscientious objector. I believe that, you know, you don't necessarily deserve, if you're not willing to support the Constitution in accordance with your oath of office or your oath as a citizen, then there's nothing wrong with being an inhabitant and not voting. There's nothing wrong with being able to, you know, bask in the land of liberty. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, go look at the early 1790s definitions that the federal government came up with regarding citizens, inhabitants, and so forth. They were absolutely okay with having inhabitants here, but they had to at least be assimilated into our society. These people that are invading us, that are not wanting to assimilate and actually demanding political access, these are political combatants. We have 40 million illegals in America. I'm not kidding. We have 40 million illegals. If you go to the Center of Immigration Studies, CIS, if you go to that website, you will start finding, back in 2018, Yale and MIT, two highly progressive educational institutions, came right out and said that there's more like 22 million, but you think that they're really trying to report the actual numbers and the facts? I'm telling you they're not. I am telling you that what these institutions are doing is that they're at least trying to sugarcoat a little bit that it's bad, but it's not that bad. You can't get away with injecting 10, 20, 30, 40 million people into a society of 300 million. That's 30 million, right? 30 million would be 1%. That's 1% tax or displacement of all the rest of the citizens. What do I mean by that? That starts creating an artificial demand, not a natural demand where, you know, the parent dies and the person inherits the land. We have 40 million people that need housing. And when the government takes housing and gives it to them, then your cost of housing goes up. Your cost of housing, building housing, and it creates this artificial demand that we shouldn't be sustaining. And this is all at the hands of our federal government. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to get back into the focus of the campaign and what to campaign on. This is why we started doing this late last year in definitizing the Constitution. We create a clear list of all of the issues that help everything be placed into context of the Constitution regarding elections and so forth. So we want to wrap up on the Idaho race, and it's for the most part, I just pointed out one little campaign issue that was being presented at the state level that I believe is a huge mistake. You shouldn't be talking about cutting taxes. You should be talking about government spending and what government the constitutional standing government should be in. What does the Idaho Constitution state regarding the powers of the state government? Not the amendments that have been made because of federal mandates. See, when the federal government came along and created the Environmental Protection Agency, instantly that got inserted into the state government. And nobody's questioned it. And they have these things that they're operating that have been mandated unconstitutionally. Folks, we absolutely have to have, and I know a lot of people, when they first hear me say this, they don't realize the importance of this, and they actually think that it's very dangerous. I truly believe, because when you look at every state and the composition of every state, the counties in every state, there isn't one state out there that I'm aware of, other than maybe Rhode Island, where the counties of that state aren't, the majority of the counties aren't red or conservative in nature. I don't like the red-blue thing. And as a matter of fact, just to show you how politically correct left and right has become in politics and in our lives, I'm wearing a set of Shure headphones. And Shure headphones uses these color dots to tell you what the left ear is and the right ear. And guess what the left ear's color is? That little color dot is blue. And the right is red. Now, on stereo equipment, it used to be red and white. You know, red for the right and white for the left. Well, are they going to start doing, is political correctness going to start coming into the, you know, the stereo world and TV, audio, visual, and all that type of stuff? I hope not. But let's not digress. Let me get through the obligatories and let us go through the campaign issues that we promised that we would be able to deliver for you. So, as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. You need to be, if you want to be successful, and you need to depart from your current ways. Most people, this applies to most people. If you do not have a three-month supply, at a minimum, a three-month supply of your earnings in savings, which knocks out 80% of the people listening, 80% of America, I shouldn't say people listening, because most people are probably very conservative, they're probably very frugal, they're living within their means. I mean, many of you are probably savers, but if you aren't, if you are like the majority of America, over 80% of Americans have no savings. They live hand to mouth. In other words, they live from paycheck to paycheck. And many of them are not even living from paycheck to paycheck. They are carrying debt that is forcing them to live paycheck to paycheck. In other words, the debt that they're carrying, if they got rid of it, they could actually start saving money. But they're paying interest on things that they purchased, like credit card interest. Folks, I hate to go down a rat hole here with you, but when you're paying interest on an item that you paid for maybe $100 for that item, or, you know, across the board, your average purchase was maybe $100 each on, you know, these nice things that you wanted to have, you're probably paying double the price if you're not paying that credit card off on a monthly basis. If you're paying fees and interest on keeping and maintaining debt, then you're throwing money out the door. Completely throwing money out the door. You need to stop the spending. Just like our governments, stop spending, right? I mean, you don't start, you know, cutting, you know, your payments. You actually have to get out of debt, but you have to bring in the money you need for that. You have to actualize what your requirements are. Then you can actually get down to, you know, your minimum operations so you can start saving money and become independent and no longer needing a bank to fund your purchases and your life. You can actually break free, and you can eventually get to a point where you can become your own bank. Now, and we can talk about that. And I know Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching can help you with that. He can show you the path to becoming your own bank, especially if you're young enough that you still have enough of your life ahead, because it takes time to get to that position. Constitutional education down in Florida, it is Keith Broders pushing the envelope with the state and the education system to start incorporating his education on the Constitution. ConstitutionEducation.us. Hardwood Furniture, awesome hardwood furniture, TimberNation.com. I mean, I could do carrier quals on my desk. It is that thick, that strong, that sturdy. I love it. And I know that down the road, my children, whoever gets this, will absolutely love this as well. They'll be very thankful that I actually bought this kind of quality. Not just quality that you see, but quality in its making, that it will withstand the test of time. That's hardwood furniture will do that. Particle board and laminated covered, you know, plywood and so forth, it's just not the same. It will not last. It decays, it breaks down, and it won't stand the test of time. TimberNation.com, that's where you go to get your hardwood furnishings. RadioDustCovers.com to protect your expensive electronics. And actually, you can be doing some things like we're creating skirtings for these caster wheels that we have, you know, for these platforms. We have some of our really heavy stuff on. And in so doing, you really don't see that it's sitting on a caster, that, you know, the skirt kind of just goes down to the ground, and there you go. And we have the flexibility, but we don't have the eyesore. Are you still in flux? You still moving, or what's going on? Anyway, Ad Local, they are your ISP friends. They can help you with your email and everything else. With that, we will be right back in talking about the issues. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we kind of covered the obligatories, and as my back from break message always tells you about our comment line, you got any questions, you want to have a conversation, you're running a campaign and you need some press, and you're a constitutionalist, and you're talking about these issues, give us a call, 425-270-5416. State legislators will always take my priority because they are the ones that have the sovereignty over the U.S. Constitution, and they don't even know it. They actually think that it's the Supreme Court when it is not. The problem is, the Supreme Court is a teeny oligarchy, and when you look at the state legislators across the country, that's 7,000 some odd. getting them to understand the power they possess and the authority they possess, and then getting them to exercise that. Boy, those are two hurdles that we're fighting. This is why we need your help in reclaiming the republic. We need to create this massive oligarchy in taking over the federal government and forcing them back into compliance. And when I say taking over, not taking over by force, not at all. We're going to use the Constitution and force them into compliance. We have all the power necessary. You don't believe me? You need to listen to this show more. Anyway, we have some YouTube videos, and it's kind of interesting because I got the statistics from the guy that actually runs the channel for me, and it was actually, you know, eye-opening because we've got a lot of people that hit it and view our videos in the statistics that, you know, YouTube provides, but they downplay the actual views. And so we're trying to figure out why it is that they do this and how it is. And one of the things that we discovered a long time ago when we were working with Patriot Soapbox 24/7, 365, something like that. When you look at their viewership, they were actually growing and they were continuing to grow. But when YouTube started reporting it, they started actually catching up with, oh, you know what? There's way too many conservative channels on YouTube. So they actually started suppressing your statistics, the visible statistics. So when people look at your video and go, wow, you know, that only 100 people have watched that video. Actually, that's not correct. And they are suppressing that information. And they're actually bolstering this nonsense crap to make it go viral. Because who is it that actually chooses what's going to be up next in your video? What they try to do is they try to go by, oh, by the way, as disclosure, I am waiting for a phone call from a state representative. So if my phone, which won't ring, it'll kind of buzz because it's on vibrate, I may have to go into a pause or to a break. So that'll be, you know, kind of transparent to you. It'll just be kind of I'll stop and then restart. But I will let you know that I'm actually going to be having this conversation. This is a very important conversation because this is regarding the legislation that we're dropping in Wyoming. And we want everybody to know what's going on and how this is going to happen once we're ready to let you know. We don't want to actually upset the cart. We don't want to give the Karens out there the ability to start crying and having their little tantrums before it's time, because we want them to be the least effective, because the more time you give your enemy to prepare, the better off they are in trying to defend their position. Now, it is impossible to defend your position if you are fighting the truth. You really have to, you know, get people to have blind faith in you, like Baghdad Bob. I don't know who believed him. I mean, I think the whole world understands what Baghdad Bob means. It's a guy that's completely denying the truth and actually trying to, you know, tell you, oh, everything's okay, we're not being invaded. When right behind him, you can see American tanks going by or what have you. Anywho, let us move forward. What I'd like to do, though, is if you'd like to actually have G.R. Mobley at your next event, you can do so. You have our permission to play these videos. These videos are thought-provoking. These videos get right down to the facts of the invasion, the presidential vetoes. These are small, topical, and constitutional context to the issues videos. These should be going viral. Every conservative organization across the nation should at least be playing these, because there's nobody talking about these facts. And so if you start talking about them, I think more people will. And I do appreciate it. As a matter of fact, I am getting feedback. I don't thank you enough. I thank you for tuning in, downloading, and getting involved by listening and helping promote and telling people, hey, you got to check this out. I appreciate that. We're going to try, and I announced this on Monday, we're going to try to actually give you an opportunity if you happen to be in a red state. And it's kind of like, I don't want to necessarily create a competition, but that's what we kind of have to do, because the reward is pretty good. the reward is better than what I'm going to get. And so we want to reward those who actually can, you know, bring forth the cheddar, if that makes sense. So you want to stay tuned, because we need to grow this message, and we don't believe that the message is about making money for us. We believe the message is actually bringing that your community into the light of the truth, and how you can actually use this message to start growing the truth and become a leader. You're going to be paid for this, and we're hoping. I know I can't compel and make anybody spend the money a certain way, but we're going to have kind of an open-end contract where, you know, we can actually pull your commissions if, you know, we feel like, you know, you're not really helping, or it's all about the money to you. Now, to be honest with you, that's a good thing for the start off, to literally get this thing launched, because most people that are really motivated by money will actually do everything they can to, you know, sell, and get the, you know, the product moving, so that they can, because, you know, the higher the volume, the better your commission, right? Anyway, we'll talk more about that and Reclaiming the Republic and creating that Reclaiming the Republic network very soon. But what we want to do is get back to these state races, and specifically the leadership that needs to be exuding out of these candidates in their campaigns in these dark red states like Idaho. I'm just absolutely always amazed to hear the milquetoast kind of conversations and the lack of talking about the problems. Leaders talk about the problem. You know, Giuliani made one thing, one point in his career that really made him stand out as a leader at one point in time. And then down the road, when it came down to him actually being able to lead, that was a little bit different. He was more of a manager and pushing agendas, because he was actually on board with agendas instead of actually saying, this is our guide. Our Constitution is our guide. The law is the guide. And we have to live within this and go down that path. But there's more money in managing agendas, if you know what I mean. So anyway, that one point was during that 9/11, and during that interview when he was standing in front and he did his first press interview regarding 9/11. And one of the people in the press basically asked him, what do you think the magnitude of the cost of this attack, or the, you know, and damage and so forth? What do you think? And this is where he just, it came from the bowels of his soul that the cost was just too great. But we don't have the time at this point to even, you know, talk, have these conversations. There is, you know, a disaster out there that we have to clean up. We have to save as many people as we can. We have to respond now. And that's what a leader does. And so at that point in time, whether he, you know, meant to do that, whether he was prepared to do that, or whether he was moved to do that, that was the true mark of a leader. Doesn't mean that you will be a leader all the time, but it is a true mark of a leader to actually say what has to be said and to do what has to be done. Johnson & Johnson, just in talking about leadership, Johnson & Johnson did the exact same thing when it came out that it was their Tylenol capsules that were killing people. What Johnson & Johnson did before any evidence, before anything, because after they had a couple of people die and the common denominator was the Tylenol, what they did was they pulled all the Tylenol off the shelf. They said, we do not want to be the ones responsible for killing people. And so if it is on us, then fine. But we, you know, we're removing our product. And they did that voluntarily, and they did it quickly. They did the right thing, and they did it immediately. That gave them credentials, and that gave people this massive trust. Down the road, they defied that. They didn't maintain their leadership. They didn't do the right thing, because when we know about the talc powder and all these other little things that they did, voila, they destroyed their own credentials. So it's easy as a leader to step up and shine, but you have to constantly do that. You really have to be a leader to the core in all things all the time, because the temptations come along to start chasing the bottom line or the profits. And the next thing you know, you start making decisions because maybe the leadership changed at Johnson & Johnson. I don't know. All I know is that they lost their credentials, just like Giuliani. I mean, Giuliani's a conservative, and he's supported Trump, and Trump's kind of a conservative, but none of them have been really been leading. None of them have, and I can prove that, but let's get moving on the issues, because that's what you need. If you're going to run a campaign, you need to know what are the issues that you can lead on. So as we go on, we will pick it up where we left off yesterday, and we will move forward on these issues. So please stay tuned. I didn't realize that, and I do that, so forgive me. I kind of go down rat holes, or I start monologuing, and I don't get to the things you really need. So we'll get to that right when we come back. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me start this off with a basic assertion, and I think this will help everybody kind of realize the challenge we're facing. A lot of people hate to hear that we're a democracy, and there's so many people that instantly jump into the lecture, we're a constitutional republic, and they don't even really know what that means, and they don't know what a republican form of government really is. And so leaders need to start understanding so that they can actually be the ones teaching the people. If you don't have an education system that is capable of giving the people the truth, then where do they get it? Well, they have to join these grassroots organizations where people make money? No. There's no reason why you, as a leader, can't be out leading. You need to start having town hall meetings. You need to actually start, you know, meeting with groups of people. When one person wants to entertain... I had a state legislator give you a report on the Idaho, one of the Idaho state legislators. He wanted to have me, oh, why don't you come over here and talk to me? Let's have a private meeting. And I explained to him, you know, there's over 7,000 state legislators that I am trying to invoke and get into, you know, alignment with the Constitution. If I go down your paradigm of giving you a special audience, just remember, you're the public servant, and I'm here trying to help you serve your people. I'm not asking for money. But what I am is asking for you to understand this and spread this message with everybody who is like-minded that is in office, because I'm the guy that's actually going to be contesting anybody that is not like-minded in supporting the Constitution. And so he goes, oh, well, never mind. I'm just too busy for you then. Okay. Doesn't sound like, you know, you're working on getting my endorsement, because I told him, let's have a phone call. I'll do a phone call, but to travel, that's a full day, if not 2 days, for me to actually stop what I'm doing, drive over there, because it's going to take a good day time to drive over there, probably 6 hours. Coming back would be another day. So 2 days out of this election year for one person that possibly might recognize what I'm doing. When he tells me he's too busy to actually read the most important information regarding the Convention of States that has been presented, period. The most important information regarding getting rid of the Biden administration, he's too busy to read that? When I have told him and proven in my email, I've given them all the facts. Oh, well, I'm just too busy to read it. Folks, that is not your public servant. Remember, the public servant recognizes there's a problem and recognizes that they need to do something, and they do the right thing. Now, if I'm lying to you, then you tell me where I'm lying. You tell me where I am falling short in addressing the issue regarding the Biden administration. How is not removing the Biden administration one of the most primary, if not the most important issue for America today? Getting rid of him and his administration because of it being unconstitutionally seated has to be paramount. And I'm just absolutely amazed that the lack of interest out of the thousands, I'm in the thousands, based on the email list that I have, I'm easily in the thousands. I could probably go to my, because I have it all on one sheet, and I could do a search on the @, because the @ symbol gives me one address, and I don't have any duplications. If I did that, and I think I'll do that during the break, I can tell you how many of these folks are being addressed or being reached out of the 13, 14 emails that states that we're addressing. We need to add your state, too. It needs to be going out to all 7,000, almost 8,000 legislators. We need your help. And so we can't do this without you. We can't get our public servants. We can't save our Constitution without the electorate changing their tone and changing their desires of what they want their service, their public servants to do. And be very succinct and say, we want you to fully comply with the Constitution and do everything in your power to ensure that it is in everything that is in compliance with it, or it is removed. That would get rid of abortion. That would get rid of any laws encumbering your right to bear arms. That would get rid of any laws and regulations over energy, labor. All of these things go away. It's that simple. Anyway, I believe that people want to see a Republican form of government, but they don't understand what it is. And so I'll play some issues and put context to this. Because a Republican form of government, if you don't know, because we cover this all the time, is a representative form of government. That's the fundamental definition of a Republican form of government. But in America, a representative form of government is a representative of the sovereigns, not the people. Do not make a mistake. Our bicameral legislative bodies at the national level and at the state level were designed to represent the people and the sub-element of government at the level of government that is operating. At the federal level, representation was for the states in the Senate, and representation was for the people of the states in the House of Representatives. That's the same application to every state. Once the Constitution was ratified, every state reconfigured their constitution and their legislative body into a bicameral legislative body in representing sovereigns. In other words, the counties were represented in the Senate, and the people of the county were represented in the House. They didn't play these games. If you go back and you start looking at how apportionment was done back in the very first days of our Constitutional Republic, you will find that it was all based on counties. The people of the county was guaranteed one representative. It is repugnant to think that the counties, 4, 5, 9 counties, have to share one representative, because each county has very disparate needs. And as a matter of fact, a good case in point is California. They have 9 counties, and some of those counties are mountainous, some of those counties are desert, and some of those counties are agriculture. So who do they listen to? Oh, well, they'll listen to, you know, those people that have the money that contribute, and the other counties starve. How is that a representative government of the sovereigns? It is not. So you have to start understanding this, and it's not that hard. This was the whole point of the Sherman Compromise, creating a bicameral legislative body and breaking away from the British model of apportionment by people and apportioning it to the sovereigns. How are states sovereign? Because we delegated, we created that state. That state has been ordained and endowed by we the people to give them certain functions to govern us. And in the Constitution of the state, as well as the U.S. Constitution, those powers that are delegated, they have the authority to do. The problem is that they're not following the constitutions. That's why definitizing it is important. So now that we understand a republican form of government on the representative side, the other factor of a republican form of government is ruled by the rule of law, and the Constitution be the supreme law of the land. In other words, you can't make anything superior to the Constitution. The federal government can't become superior to it. The states can't become superior to it. It gets everybody and holds everybody within these tight bounds that we have to guarantee these individual liberties. I call them civil rights. We put in that Constitution guarantees that government cannot infringe upon our civil rights. Civil rights being protected by the law. We know, and it is a huge misnomer to just kind of live in a society that says, you know, we have these inalienable rights because God gave them to us and we don't need to put them into law. That's a sad mistake. What the framers did was they did everything they could to ensure that those inalienable rights would be protected. And because government is always quick to take those rights away from you. That's why we protect them. So anyway, now that we understand the intricacies of a republican form of government, because actually I took, I think, 2 or 3 shows going through a republican form of government just this past month. The next step then is, if we're a republican form of government, then all elections must be local. I've covered this as well. I can't emphasize how important this is. If you're running for city office or you're running for a county office as a county commissioner, supervisor, parish, what have you, then you should not be allowed to bring money in from anybody that is not operating and functioning within that area of the election, the county, the city, whatever that boundary of those few people that can vote. You should not be allowed to bring in money from D.C., from money from another state, any outside influence. It is tantamount to voter influence and actually voter manipulation, right? I mean, that was the whole point of Russia, Russia, Russia. Oh, it was all this manipulation. Well, if money is the root of all evil, money is the root of manipulation as well. And so any money coming in from a PAC, and that PAC isn't solely making their money, and the money they're contributing to that campaign isn't coming from that county or the area of the election, and they don't have a brick and mortar, they can't spend a penny in that election. So when you look at the flyover states and how PACs get out there, and this is how Soros has been able to buy up all of these attorney generals. His money should be worth zero in an election. You make all elections local, you have shut down the influences and allowed the people to truly choose their representation. So with that, we'll move on to another factor of a republican form of government. And the whole point, once we take over the elections and keep everybody from influencing it, we have one more step to make a fully republican form of government. We'll be right back after these two messages. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we've talked about making elections local. That, you know what? I don't understand why this is so hard. I don't understand why we've gone down these paths of allowing corporations to be able to flaunt all of their money. When it comes down to a corporate, let's say Walmart is in your county. Let's say Walmart isn't in your county, then obviously they can't put a penny anyway, anyhow into that election. If they are caught giving money to some agent that might be living there, maybe employees say, hey, if you contribute, we'll reimburse you. Anything like that, they should be going to jail because they're manipulating an election. And that is tantamount to interfering in an election, right? Okay, so we have to be very strict in protecting who is influencing these elections. Look at GR right now. GR is kind of influencing the issues of the election, not necessarily the persons. If the persons commit, then you have, you know, if you want to say GR's endorsement, but I'm telling you they should have your endorsement. They should have your endorsement if they're standing on the Constitution, because that means that they're protecting your liberties and doing everything they possibly can to ensure that you and your posterity have equal opportunity to succeed and fail, to be able to enjoy your inalienable rights. But the other thing is, you know, so actually let's look at the corporation again. So let's say Walmart is in your county. For Walmart to be able to contribute to, and whatever that max is, they actually have to prove that the money that they're giving you isn't coming out of the company till it is coming from the profits made in that county. So it forces them to change their bookkeeping so that they can actually report and have money put aside so that they can contribute. But corporations should be basically limited to the same as a single person. In other words, I know a lot of people have a problem with corporations being people, but what corporations have been doing is they've been able to use much larger influences because, oh, well, they have a whole bunch of people that represent them. No, A corporation is a single entity. It may have a lot of people that work as a part of it, just like, you know, you have two arms and two legs on your body, but do you get taxed for every appendage, or do you get taxed per head? And there you go. So, but corporations should have the ability to vote in those elections that actually affect the corporation. What I mean by that is, if you have a corporation or a business that you put in a county, and you're a small business owner, and as a matter of fact, if you want to just cap it to small business, that's fine. But we need to be able to allow those who are investing in creating business and opportunity in your county for people to employ people. Then we don't want progressives to be able to create land grab taxes and basically burdens upon business so that they hurt business in that county. Because that's what happens. So making sure that everybody has the ability to actually vote, and you have to be a stakeholder in that election. So let's go to the next step in that type of an election where a business should be able to vote would be a levy. If it's a property tax, if it's a tax on property, if it's a tax on public utilities, that we want to raise the public utility rates for certain people and not have an even rate for, you know, flat rate for consumption, then what should happen is those people who have the property, those people who are actually paying for that property tax, paying for that energy bill and what have you, you should have the ability to vote in that election. We're not talking about representation here. We're actually talking about practically economic warfare that the progressives constantly get away with when they create taxation on everybody else's stuff that they don't, you know, they're not property owners. The entitlement people feel that, you know, you need to spend more money on our school because our school administrators say that they need money. You need to do that. And what they do is they get government to actually spend money on it and sending entitlements out to these folks, and they starve the schools, they starve the police, they starve the fire department, the essential services, they starve. And then what do? They come back to you and say, we need to assess you with levy on taxes. And what they're doing is they're going after the property owners and the producers in society, and then they allow everybody to vote on it. If you're not going to be held to that tax, then you should not be able to vote. If it's a sales tax, that affects everybody. But if it's a property tax, you have to be a property owner. If you're renting, then you should not be able to vote. Period. That's how it was, and that's how it should be. Why would somebody that owns Ford stock be able to vote in a General Motors or a Mopar or any other car manufacturer's stockholders meeting? You have to have stock in that. You have to have shares to be able to say, I've got skin in the game. This is only common sense, folks. This is how it was back in the beginning of this republic. It wasn't one person, one vote, one say in everything. That is communism, allowing people to have a voice in something that they have no way, they have no influence. They're not partakers of that. This is how they rob us. And if you go to Tytler's cycle of democracy and how democracies fail, that's exactly how it fails. But we're in a constitutional republic that is a republic of laws. And we're actually protected from failing in that democratic cycle because people aren't supposed to be able to vote to create powers. They have to amend the Constitution to do that. And the real problem, going back into state constitutions, since when is a Republican form of government allowing the changes to the Constitution to be done democratically? In other words, a popular vote. I'm okay with it being a majority of the counties, just like in an amendment to the Constitution. Why is it that we don't have a popular vote for that amendment? Very, very specifically, because we are a Republican form of government. Therefore, every constitution in every state that has a democracy form of making amendments to their constitution needs to change. They need to make it so that it's based on counties. Counties need to be able to protect their citizens from the mob rule of the populated areas. That was the essential principles. When you read the ratification debates, you'll actually read how they talk about the mob rule and popular vote and the rule of the urban area or the population centers to start dictating to the rest of the state. And that's exactly what's happened. And that's why Chicago is dragging down Illinois. That is why Los Angeles and San Francisco, these populated cities, are dragging down California. And it's all at the expense of the farmers and every, oh, we, you know, you can't even make money any day in these days in some of these, I'll call them trade skills or careers, whatever you want to call it. If you want to be a, what's the old-fashioned term? Husbandry. If you want to get into the trade of husbandry, then, you know, great. But you can't make money at it because they use economic hostility and warfare against you. It's the same thing with the lumber trades. It's the same thing with all of these things that are actually harvesting from the earth. What they want to do is they want to give these kids that are flipping burgers these things, kind of 15 living dollars, living wages. Are you kidding? Anyway, let me just move on. So the other side of the Republican form of government, now that we've got the elections and we've kind of covered a good side of this paradigm, the other side is what do we have happening in our public servants' offices? We have lobbyists who don't even exist in that legislative district, walking into that legislative district's representative and saying, "We want you to consider this bill." There are only very specific reasons why a lobbyist should be talking to a representative. Like if it's a contract dispute, providing facts and details and information regarding the contract. But that's it. They should not be able to go in and influence and say, we'd like to contribute. See, this eliminates your ability to contribute and pervert and corrupt your government. Your lobbyists should have nothing to do with your representatives, especially if they have zero presence or it is just a token presence in your legislative district. And one of the most insidious lobbyist organizations out there that want to really rip away all of your liberties is the Convention of States. We've gone through this time and time again, but if you want me to go through it again, especially if you're running for office, let me know. I'll be happy to cover that. Let me move on because we still have some issues, and obviously this will probably lead me into Monday, and I'm sorry about that. Protecting your property as well as state property has to be paramount as well. They have to start understanding the federal usury and unconstitutional government dictates, such as energy laws and energy seizing of your property or environmental seizing of your property. This has been actualized over the past several decades, how the Environmental Protection Agency has gone in and seized property, seized water resources from people so that they basically make them go bankrupt. That should never happen. That is the antithesis of government. Government is supposed to be protecting your property, not seizing your property because they think you're not a good steward or that they have different ideas of how that property needs to be operated and maintained. Well, as I can hear this, we'll take this topic, we'll restart on this topic in the next show. That's why these things are so important in election year. So you can see why we go through these things over and over, because we know it's growing, and sometimes I say it differently that helps you understand it in a different light. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake.
send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.